We interrupt this program to activate the emergency.
Genius Hour of Slash.
Oye, oye, oye. Hey, yes, dear friends, in honor and fear of the upcoming elections, for this hour of Slack, number 964, I've elected to play a special pre-verts, pre-vote show from the Lymph Node Institute edition of Bob's Slack Time Funhouse, originally broadcast on WREK Atlanta, the greatest of all the college stations. Well, except possibly the other college stations that carry this very demanding show. Anyway, friends, stick around for the Lymph Node Institute special pre-verts, pre-voting hour of a Slack.
Oh, babies.
There's so many of you. Just be cool down the front and don't push around. Just keep still. Keep together. Oh, yeah.
You're listening to Bob's Slack Time Funhouse, the Lymph Node Institute edition.
I'm Doc.
I'm Bugsy.
And tonight, it's happening. We're actually going to pay attention to what those pink boys are doing, and we're going to talk a little bit like we did four goddamn years ago.
Yeah, we were in the space station then.
We were in the space station, and...
But we saw it coming, and it's just bizarre because nothing like that. It was unprecedented, but we still saw it coming because we had a bird's eye view, outer space, space birds.
And it may happen again. Although I doubt it very highly, because
you are much more optimistic about that than I am. I have big fear about the next election.
I don't think, and it's important to use passive voice here, I don't think it will be allowed to happen. Because if you have two bum elections in a row...
Wow. Thanks, Florida.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thanks, Catherine Harris.
The tiger who understood people. Once upon a time, there was a tiger who escaped from a zoo in the United States and made his way back to the jungle. During his captivity, the tiger had learned a great deal about how men do things, and he thought he would apply their methods to life in the jungle. The first day he was home, he met a leopard, and he said, "There's no use in you and me hunting for food. We'll make the other animals bring it to us." "How'll we do that?" asked the leopard. "Oh, easy," said the tiger. "You and I will tell everybody that we're going to put on a fight, and that every animal will have to bring a freshly killed boar in order to get in and see the fight. Then we will just spar around and not hurt each other. Later, you can say that you broke a bone in your paw during the second round, and I'll say I broke a bone in my paw during the first round. Then we will announce a return engagement, and they'll have to bring us more wild boars."
I don't think this will work, said the leopard.
Oh, yes, it will, said the tiger. You just go around saying you can't help winning because I'm a big palooka. And I'll go around saying I can't lose because you're a big palooka. And everybody will want to come and see the fight. Now, so the leopard went round telling everybody that he couldn't help winning because the tiger was a big palooka, and the tiger went round telling everybody he couldn't lose because the leopard was a big palooka. The night of the fight came, and the tiger and the leopard were very hungry because they hadn't gone out and done any hunting at all. They wanted to get the fight over as soon as possible and eat some of the freshly killed wild boars, which all the animals would bring to the fight. But when the hour of the combat came, none of the animals at all showed up. The way I look at it, a fox told them, is this. If the leopard can't help winning and the tiger can't lose, it'll be a draw. And a draw is a very dull thing to watch, particularly when fought by fighters who are both big palookas. The animals all saw the logic of this and stayed away from the arena. When it got to be midnight, it was obvious that none of the animals would appear and there wouldn't be any wild boar meat to devour. The tiger and the leopard fell upon each other in a rage. They were both injured so badly and they were both so worn out by hunger that a couple of wild boars came wandering along, attacked them and killed them easily. Moral: if you live as humans do, it will be the end of you.
People, the Islamic movement is starting to gather lots of different parts of society.
CBS News, fighting the truth. CBS News, fighting the facts with ear. CBS News, fighting the truth. CBS News, fighting the facts. The truth about CBS News. Tomorrow, experience anthrax.
I think they ought to do to make this interesting, and they could sponsor it, like
278-070. The United States, who is responsible for these dastardly acts today, including President Bush, despite the fact that he is a multimillionaire, requires additional financial support from somewhere to carry out this kind of operation. This thing being carried out with great precision is consistent with the hard fact.
You got it.
76 at Eagles, we all remember.
There's no doubt.
07. That President Bush
is a terrorist.
And by the way,
the Pentagon and the CIA are...
The kind of organizations that have the kind of capacity that would have been necessary to conduct the attack that we saw on the 11th. They know what they've done. They know when they're going to do it. And they know what consequences might be coming back in their direction.
Terror attacks
continue to clear the...
Hijack planes... Doomed passengers.
We pause as we remember September the 11th, 2001, the World Trade Center. Sandy Patty, our national anthem.
Death toll.
What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century, and how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state government?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that. Sovereignty. You've been given sovereignty, and you're viewed as a sovereign entity.
Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love to women all across this country. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country.
But he's still the same person I met at a backyard barbecue in Midland, Texas, and married 3 months later.
And so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
The last time I told you about the curse of Tecumseh, I may have left a few things out. In 1811, future President William Henry Harrison, then governor of Indiana, led an attack against the Native Americans known as the Battle of Tippecanoe. The battle, a victory that broke the back of Tecumseh's Confederation of Tribes, fatally wounded the united Native American resistance against white colonization. A momentous achievement indeed. A year later, Tecumseh desperately threw in with the British in the War of 1812. As is their way, the British army fled the Battle of the Thames, and Tecumseh was killed. It wasn't until Harrison became president and died in office, though, that the whispers of a curse began.
President Harrison was the first president to die in office, contracting pneumonia secondary to the Indian curse. A fluke took a step towards becoming a trend with Abraham Lincoln, who was elected in 1860 and then re-elected in 1864, but not for long. A Catholic cabal struck him down on April 14th of 1865. In 1880, it officially became a trend when General James Garfield won the presidency by a scant 10,000 votes. He proceeded to piss off big business and the New York political machine, and, less than 4 months into his term, on July 2nd, 1881, he was shot by an angry lawyer, Charles Guiteau. He died on September 19th, after months of tasty torture at the hands of quacks, which may have been some sort of Masonic ritual. It basically just gets spooky in 1900 when President William McKinley is re-elected to his second term. He was standing in a receiving line at the Buffalo Pan American Exposition when an anarchist with an unpronounceable name that, on first inspection, looks like some kind of joke, Leon Czolgosz, possibly, Czolgosz, shot him twice in the chest. You know, for anarchy. President McKinley had the decency to linger for a mere 8 days, and died on September 14th, 1901. Again, medical incompetence played its role, giving him a touch of the gangrene before he died. Mr. Shulgaw's trial started a week later and lasted a day. He was executed less than 2 months after the act. Like a good Hashishan, he signed a confession and was unapologetic. By now, you may be noticing that all the presidents elected in a 0 year eventually died in office. And this trend continued in 1920, with Warren Harding, who was perhaps the worst president ever. The Federal Vampire and Zombie Agency indicates that he was bitten by a vampire planted by Al Capone. Officially, the return to normalcy candidate, embattled by multiple scandals, fled to Alaska and died of food poisoning on August 2, 1923. His wife died the next year on November 21, 1924. FDR, like Lincoln, survived his zero-year presidency, but finally stroked out on April 12, 1945, in his fourth term as president. In 1960, JFK was elected, and we all know who killed him on November 21st, 1963. Ronald Reagan was elected in 1980, and after just a few months in office was shot by a son of George Bush's friend. He died and was replaced by a CIA robot on March 30th, 1981. Which brings us to the much-contested 2000 election. Wasn't that exciting?
Actually, John Hinckley Sr. was supposed to meet Neil Bush, our current president's brother, the evening that Reagan was shot. But you get the picture. And yes, the 2000 election was exciting. A little more exciting because subsequent interviews with Reagan's surgeons have revealed that Reagan's heart was in fact stopped in order to remove an exploding round that didn't from his chest. So, technically, Reagan died, and we don't even need that CIA robot theory anymore. So the proof of the trend will be tested in the fate of George Bush, who may be part of a subtrend within the curse. Lincoln and Franklin Roosevelt, both wartime presidents, survived their zero-year terms but died in the following April of 1865 and 1945, respectively. If this trend holds and Bush is reelected, then, well, let's just say I would rather not look at statues of his stupid face for the rest of my life. And neither, I believe, would certain unknowable power nodes. I believe that in an attempt to break the curse, among other things, the Bush campaign will be sabotaged just enough to let Kerry squeak by, and then beat him in a landslide in 2008 with Jeb or maybe George again. Oh, you think perhaps they don't know about it? Why do you think they picked the aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln for the mission accomplished photo op? But yes, there is another scenario. They go ahead and let him win, and in the cruel month of April, possibly on Mrs. Ellis's birthday, ancient scales tip, and vengeful ghosts take their sacrifice. What then? A Christian martyr to guide us on a new crusade. Who could fill the vacuum? Surely Cheney would die from media exposure within 6 weeks. Ample opportunity for a centrist, a war hero, a senator from Arizona. This scenario might explain McCain's return to the grassy fold lately. After all, McCain's idol is Teddy Roosevelt, who was elected by Tecumseh when President McKinley was assassinated. So, I'll bet a nickel on Kerry, but 4 cents on Bush. But the real game is trying to figure out which way Tecumseh will win. Time will tell. Time will tell.
Joke about this if you can. Assassination.
Well, you're trying to organize or prevent one?
Prevent. They would have to take reprisals. Everybody would suffer.
They've heard. They are aware. And they don't need anyone's help.
They don't believe me.
Many times bitten, forever shy. But they are not shy. They love to listen.
Jamming.
Jamming? Domestic science?
You'll learn about jamming one of these days. It's the most important ways of fighting back.
All right, enlighten me now.
No. I tell lies, remember?
Call in any time you like.
But my safety is unimportant as long as my people are imprisoned.
Now, when you're queen, you will know that no ruler is truly safe or secure as long as her people are not free.
I'm here to deliver a warning.
A warning? What about?
A plot to kill you.
To what?
To kill you. Assassinate you.
Huh?
Assassinate you.
I don't believe it.
They should have told you there are some unhappy people here.
Yes, well, I have seen the list of malcontents. It might interest you to know that you happen to be top of the bill.
I do my best to live up to it.
Yeah, what, by saving my despicable life?
Not for your sake.
Oh. What then?
If they succeed in killing you, what action would your people take?
Oh, well, they would punish those responsible for... What else would you expect them to do?
Punish everyone. A mass reprisal, a never-to-be-forgotten deterrent.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, I still don't believe it. My observers would have told me that they do see and hear everything, you know.
They don't believe everything.
You're referring to jamming?
No, jamming.
Well, naturally, when a person is known to us as one who continually... Yes, well, we know we expected something like this, that they'd try to get through to us through a dupe. Mm. So they chose you to lead us into believing their fantasies, eh? Well, did they tell you how they're going to go about it, or where, when? Would you find out for me? Because the laugh will do me an awful lot of good.
You may find out yourself, quite suddenly. In which case, you won't be laughing.
I call them dogs. And if they're lapping up their own vomit, the only way to stop them is with a lash.
But dogs only obey their own nature, so why shouldn't we forgive them?
Dogs can be taught many useful things, but not if we forgive them every time they obey their own nature.
I left orders that I was not to be disturbed.
I have to say, won't wait.
I know what it is. Tomorrow, after I've handed over office, I'm to be assassinated.
For assassinated, substitute, executed.
Since it's arranged by my own people, you mean?
You don't mind?
Of course I mind. It's just that, well, I never thought it would happen to me.
It never does. To anybody. But it can be prevented.
Preventing is only postponing. We never fail. Anyway, why should you care what happens to me?
I don't. But innocent people will be blamed.
I know. I'm sorry, but there's nothing that I can do. I can think of better ways to die.
And better causes to die for.
No, nothing can go wrong now. I'll stake my future on it. Well, thank you, sir. Yeah, I know you will.
People who live here are doing their best under very hard circumstances.
If you say so, Max. But is their best really good enough?
That's what I want to use the power for, if you don't mind. I want to make this world a little better. If there's any town this world would be better without, this is it.
Yes, and so the great day is nearly over. It went off rather well, I thought. Better than planned. And now you can look forward to your own retirement, and I'm sure they'll arrange something equally suitable for you when the day comes.
Off the work!
Why the hell is nothing falling? What the ghost are you guys doing up there?
To Springsteen. Why are these people talking up now?
I think it's mostly because of what the FCC's been doing. Michael Powell, who's Colin Powell's son.
It's not like he was involved in the McDonaldland massacre by Coven.
McDeath! Michael Powell has been the head of the FCC, which has been one of the most controversial and retarded FCCs that we've ever had. Yeah, the ownership rules. And
that's
then
ridiculous, dude. It's the indecency attacks I don't get. And we're talking about free speech in a free nation, quotes all over the place.
Freedom, that's one of those stories we tell ourselves, but I mean,
it ain't slander, it ain't libel.
Here's a little number I wrote the other day while out duck hunting with a judge.
Quack.
Cuff you very much, the FCC. Cuff you very much for fining me. $5,000 a cuff, so I'm really out of luck. That's more than Heidi Fleiss was charging me. So, cuff you very much, the FCC, for proving that free speech just isn't free. Clear Channel's a dear channel, so Howard Stern must go. Attorney General Ashcroft doesn't like strong words, and so he's charging twice as much as all the drugs for Rush Limbaugh. So cuff you all so very much. So cuff you very much, dear Mr. Bush, for heroically sitting on your tush. For Halliburton, Enron, all the companies who fail, let's send them a clear signal and stick Martha straight in jail. She's an uppity rich bitch, and at least she isn't male. So cuff you all so very much. So cuff you, kidhead Mr. Cheney too. Cuff you and cuff everything you do. Your pacemaker must be a fake, you haven't got a heart. As far as I'm concerned, you're just a pasty-faced old fart. And as for Condoleezza, she's an intellectual tart. So cuff you all so very much. So cuff you very much, the EPA, for giving all Alaska's oil away. It really is a bummer when I can't fill my Hummer. The ozone's a no-go zone now that Arnold's here to say
the nuclear winter games are going to take place in L.A.
So love you all so very much. So what the planet fails, let's save the great white males. And love you all so very much.
Quack.
Say, but yeah, let's do some gay bashing for a second.
But you're aware our old secretary Charlie Tan is in dire straits.
Of course.
We wish him nothing but the best.
Let's just selectively gay bash. Let's gay bash current, up until a couple weeks from now, Representative Ed Schrock.
No one knows who he is.
S-C-H-R-O-C-K.
They don't know who he is.
You don't know who Ed Schrock is?
No, they don't.
Ed Schrock was Pat Robertson's personal representative in the United States Congress, coming from a district in East Virginia, where Pat Robertson's based out of, and he's been supporting this Ed Schrock. He's been in for two terms. He's one of the most conservative members of the House of Representatives.
He's not the guy that got them to start talking about adding an amendment to the Constitution to ban gay marriage, is he?
As a matter of fact, I don't know if he initiated the conversation, but he sure as hell has been pushing it. He has been pushing that agenda. That's been his pretty much his number one thing.
But that's not all he's been pushing, is it?
No. that's not all he's been pushing. This might be a good time to mention that, again, to reiterate, it's so easy to forget this. The politicians, the Kerrys, the Bushes, the Edwards, the Cheneys, all these people are subs. They're all subgenius. They are all far weirder than your 1995 nose ring from the mall will ever make you. These are the prime weirdos. They're weirdos squared. They're weirdos to the power of weirdness, because not only are they strange, bizarre mothers just like us, but they fight it. They repress it, and they've probably been repressing it their entire goddamn lives.
W is very good at repression.
He is, and that is why they act so crazy when it comes to gays or drug users or the underclass or whatever. It's because these guys are all totally insane, and in order to fight their own insanity, which they shouldn't even do, but they do, and in order to fight it, they have to fight everyone else's insanity at the same time.
Sure.
So, when Representative Ed Schrock calls a gay Dateline and leaves a message like this.
I weigh 200 pounds, 6'4", 8 lines long hair, very muscular, very buffed up, very tanned. I just like to get together with a guy from time to time just to play. But I'd like him to be in very good shape, flat stomach, good chest, good arms, well hung, cut. Just to get naked, play, see what happens. Nothing real heavy duty, but just a fun time. Put down on him, put down on me, and just take it from there. Hope to hear from you. Bye.
That was hot.
That was hot, man. I'm thinking of calling him myself.
Wow, but now, why would he be now I think I understand why he's so against the gays.
Yeah, because he's been trying to wrestle, as it were, with his own issues, which shouldn't even be an issue. As soon as this tape was released, he announced he would not be running for re-election.
Because it would be used against him. If it goes away now, they'll let it go.
I for president. You like Ike. I like Ike.
Time for all good Americans to come to the aid of their country.
How you doing? I'm doing good. My name is Hillary Clinton.
Damn it.
I saw that idea using the Ayatollah Khomeini's money to support the Nicaraguan freedom fighters as a good one. I still do. I don't think it was wrong. I think it was a neat idea.
Golly, I'm so impressed.
I am a Southerner. I love this part of the country. We demonize black people. I am a Southerner. I love this part of the country. I love this part of the country. How have we lived with these contradictions all this time? By finding somebody to demonize.
Read my
Excuse me, Colonel North. I'm with the London Daily Tabloid. What do you say to your detractors' charges that you are pond-sucking incompetent who sold arms to the Ayatollah and profited at the expense of the American people? Any, you care to comment on that today?
I think it was a neat idea.
The one thing they could do to actually increase freedom of this country is something they have in Russia, which is actually on its way towards the oligarchy again. But one thing they have in Russia that we don't is every contest on a ballot has one box that says none of the above. Which guarantees that if one person is running, they always have to compete with none of the above. If you added none of the above to the presidential election, you would have voter turnout in the 90s, and none of the above would win.
Well, and the great part about that is you can vote none of the above for a lot of categories, and then something that actually does interest you, you can vote for it.
Yeah.
And it might be enough to get you off your ass and into a booth.
Just say no to all of it. No. But you can vote straight party, nobody.
But since it's not that way, there are a lot of people out there that think the whole process is a farce.
And it is, to an extent. It's not a complete farce.
There's some wiggle room.
Mm-hmm.
When I grow up, I want to be a president.
Nobody for president. Nobody for president.
Here's my thoughts on it. If we leave Bush in office, he's going to do the Christian apocalypse, and the subgeniuses are going to be standing there with your skis in the wind, and Bob is going to be floating off in a limousine with George Bush. All right, is that what you want? You want them to have their goddamn apocalypse before we have ours?
But I don't care about Christians or Muslims.
They're going to torch the whole goddamn planet. It's going to be no pleasure vessels and no alien sex goddesses, and we'll be dying under my ass in Christian hell. Well, okay. For all of you that enjoy getting tied in the mesh, then something else, getting your eyelids pulled off. Either way, we go to Christian hell. If they do their apocalypse.
Wait.
From nations around the world. For freedom, and they can't take that away.
The nation with a broken president. The president wounded to the core. Now, taking aim at the American people. The sacrifice. Taking aim at the American people. A CS News special report. The danger. The sacrifice. The president addresses Congress and the Pentagon.
Members of Congress, I have the high privilege and the distinct honor of presenting to you the President of the United States.
Well, I was
enthralled because you want to hear from us. Thank you again for your love, your compassion, your grace, and Lord, your hope. And we pray for peace.
Americans are asking, who attacked our country? The evidence we have gathered all points to a collection of loosely affiliated police forces, intelligence service, dozens of federal departments and agencies, as well as state and local governments and banking systems around the world. Americans are asking, how will we fight and win this war? By sponsoring and sheltering and supplying terrorists, by sacrificing human life, by aiding and abetting murder and those who commit evil. And tonight, the United States of America is committing murder on thousands of civilians in places like Afghanistan, like the war against Iraq a decade ago, and make no distinctions among military and civilians, including women and children. And that is good. This is the fight of all who believe in fascism, Nazism, and totalitarianism. And remember why so many hate us. And there is a reason. The United States of America committed an act of war against men and women from El Salvador, Iran, Mexico, and Japan on thousands of civilians. The United States of America is threatening people everywhere, nations from Latin America to Asia to Africa to Europe to the Islamic world. My administration will work with terrorists to plot evil and destruction, to show the world their own cities, their own citizens, maybe next.
It's all right to be a redneck.
No president in the history of our country has ever delivered a speech such as this.
I must disagree with President Bush when he says we are targeted because we are a beacon of freedom and democracy. Our Middle East policy has nothing to do with freedom and democracy.
Talked about that too, presumably. I mean, all the lefties are real upset that Bush is the president. They don't feel that he got in legally.
Yeah, yeah, all the lefties are mentally ill.
Yeah, okay.
On my orders, the United States military has begun strikes against the starving and suffering men and women and children of Afghanistan. The United States of America is a terrorist to the Afghan people. The United States of America is an enemy of the freedom of people everywhere to live and raise their children free from fear. All the men and women in our military, every sailor, every soldier, every airman, every Coast Guardsman, every Marine, they have become outlaws and murderers themselves. This military action is a part of our campaign against peace.
We're gonna destroy a lot of things over there.
Come on.
We're gonna bomb them over there.
We're gonna destroy a lot of things over there.
Come on.
Hey, people, brothers and sisters, come on now. That means everybody just cool out. Will you cool out, everybody?
I flew up, man.
I know. I'm here. Everybody be cool now, come on. All right? How are we doing over there? All right? Can we still make it down the front? Is there anyone there that's hurt, huh? Everyone all right? Okay. All right. I think we're cool. We can go. It always happens, something very funny happens when we start that number.
Damn sure the fire watch his hands.
people. I mean, who's fighting what for? Who's fighting and what for? Why are we fighting? Why are we fighting? We don't want to fight. Come on. Do we want, who wants to fight? Who is it?
This text published in Harper's Magazine was an answer to the question, when did you stop wanting to be president? Now, this searching question was also put to Ronald Reagan, who was governor of California at the time. And his answer is right next to mine. So I can safely say that the text you are about to hear was read by the President of the United States. He couldn't help it. When did I stop wanting to be president? It's one of those wise guy questions. When do you stop exposing yourself in public? President, not me. I don't have the qualifications. My political ambitions were simply of a humbler and less conspicuous caliber. I aspired at one time to become commissioner of sewers for St. Louis County. $300 a month with every possibility of getting one's yiddish paws deep into a slush pond. And to this end, I attended a softball game where such sinecures were assigned to the deserving and the fortunate. Everybody I met said, now I'm old so-and-so running for such and such, and anything you do for me, I'll appreciate. My boyish dreams fanned by this heady atmosphere and three-mint juleps, I saw myself already in possession of the coveted post, which called for a token appearance twice a week to sign a few letters at the old courthouse. While I'm there, might as well put it on the sheriff for some marijuana he has confiscated. And he better play ball or I will rout a sewer through his front yard. And then across the street to the courthouse cafe for a coffee with some other lazy, worthless bastards in the same line of business, and we wallow in corruption like contented alligators. Remember, Reagan had to read all this. I never wanted to be a front man like Nixon, taking the rap, shaking hands, and making speeches all day. Who in his right mind would want a job like that? As Commissioner of Sewers, I would not be called upon to pet babies, have lunch with the Queen. In fact, the fewer voters who knew my existence, the better. Let kings and presidents keep the limelight. I prefer a whiff of coal gas as the sewers rupture for miles around. I have made a deal on the piping, which has bought me a $30,000 home. And there is talk in the press of sex cults and drug orgies carried out in the stink of what made them possible. Fluttering from the roof of my ranch-style house, Old Glory floats lazily in the tainted breeze. But there were sullen mutters of revolt from the peasantry. My teenage daughters is not deep in shit. Is this the American way of life? I thought so, and I didn't want to change. Just sitting there in my garden smoking the sheriff's reefers. I sure did a sweet thing with those pipes, and I'm covered too. What I got on the governor wouldn't look good on the front page, would it now? And I have my special police to deal with vandalism and sabotage. All handsome youths, languid and vicious as reptiles, described in the press as no more than minions, lackeys and bodyguards to His Majesty, the Sultan of Sewers. Thoughts of youth, long, long thoughts. Then I met the gubernatorial candidate, and he looked at me as if trying to focus my image through a telescope, and I felt the dream slipping away from me, receding into the past. Dim, jerky, far away, the discreet gold letters on a class
door. Last door, William S. Burroughs, Commissioner of Sanitation. It was a long time ago, and I have never aspired to political office since. The Sultan of Sewers lies buried in a distant 1930s softball game. You know, people are always saying what they would do if they were president. Well, I'll tell you, you would be inexorably pressured by the forces and the individuals that put you in office. Get one inch out of line and they would kill you like they killed Kennedy.
So, go vote or don't. I don't give a damn. But
you do. I know you do.
I do. I do, but who am I to tell people to vote? If people don't want to vote, maybe they know something I don't. Of course, yes. Okay, you know what? It is naive. It is naive to go push buttons on a diebold computer and assume that Chuck Hagel, Republican senator from Nebraska, that his privately owned company will tally the results properly. Yes. Okay, fine.
It's demand a printout receipt.
It's a massive leap of faith. But the more people that do vote, the harder it is to fix the election. The harder it makes those stupid pink boy ish-heads jobs. And the harder the job is of a stupid pink boy ish-head, the more likely it is he's going to screw it up.
Don't look behind the curtain. Just cast a vote.
And then
insane.
Then I don't think we have too many elections left in us.
Hello.
So that was Bob Slack Time Funhouse.
Yeah, thanks. You do what you want to do. We will,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, good luck. It's going to suck no matter what, so let it rip.
Another fine Lymph Node production!
Visit us online at lymphnodeinstitute.com.
Or write to us at P.O. Box 670-541, Marietta, Georgia, 30066-0126.
Because we don't want to live in a world full of zombies. Do you? If you would like more information on the Church of the Subgenius,
write to them at P.O. Box
181417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118.
Or visit them online at
www.subgenius.com.
And thank you so much to Lymph Node Institute for presenting us with this Bob Slack Time Funhouse replacing hour of Slack number 964. See you at Subgenius.com.